Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here we are.
Was that good? You worried about me? We were trying to come in faster.
Yeah, it was better.
Yeah, you want to try it again?
You could. Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And it's 12/13/2016, I believe.
Yes,
I'm not mistaken.
Yep, 12/13.
And so that means we're almost halfway through the month of December already.
Moving along, and we have lots going on. We have the end of the year, the Fed coming up tomorrow. Everybody's all, you know, I think the excitement about the Fed and the worry about the Fed and the concern about the Fed is not as important as it was.
Yeah, I get that sense too. I was watching all the financial shows today and it's all figured in. Everyone's figured it in that their Fed's going to do something and we're good with it.
Yeah, there's a 100% probability of a rate hike. Actually, at the meeting, 100%.
Yeah.
But the big question is going to be, what are they going to do forward, right? You know, the meeting after the announcement. So 2:00 is the announcement, and then at 2:30, Janet Yellen hits the stage, and she's going to start reading her prepared comments. And I think there's a early release of that. But then you get into the whole discussion with the press, and I think Steve Leisman from CNBC goes first and asks, you know, probably something to the effect of, well, how many do you really think you're going to, you know, how many more times in 2017, especially with the fact that we have the real potential for some kind of fiscal stimulus? Does that make your life easier and allow you to increase rates finally? And I think that's part of it. You know, the 10-year treasury hit 2.5%. The U.S. dollar's been on the rise. That's going to probably go into her thought of, well, we can't be too aggressive. We don't know exactly what's going to happen. And you know, these things are not yet implanted in law. So the big question, how many for 2017? I don't know. I mean, some people are talking about 4 rate increases in 2017, which would be, take us up to what, 2%?
Depends on, yeah, unless they do bigger numbers.
Yeah. I can't imagine. They're so nervous about the economy and even though we have everything running as they want it to be with unemployment rate and everything
else. Yeah, phony unemployment rate. Everything is all phonied up. Looks good.
Did I tell you that for the Disciplined Investor podcast in January, I think the first week in January, I got John Williams as a guest coming on, who is the guy from Shadow Stats.
Yeah, he's the guy who will explain it all.
Yep, he's going to explain it all. And I'm going to ask him a couple of questions. You asked me to mention one time was about his concern about some of his made-up numbers?
Well, according to critics, he has a fudge factor. I've never seen read about it in his newsletter or anything, but they say, well, you know, he cheats on this and that, and that's why he gets these high numbers.
So he's cheating to make it look worse?
I don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah. Well, I guess you know, bad news sells. So if the numbers looked exactly right, and if his numbers were exactly on what the official numbers were.
They seemed to be a lot closer until 2008, until Obama's people got in.
But I don't think any of the statistical measures would change then. I don't think, as far as I know, unless they're doing some fudging themselves.
I don't know.
So the big question also is the run in financials over. We saw just an amazing move in the financials over the last few weeks where the yield curve started to steepen and the spread from the short to the long dated maturities widened up a bit and got that going. That's good for the banks because they can lend at a higher rate and they can bring in money for deposits still at a low rate. So therefore they get that spread.
Yeah.
So for a while it was pretty thin there. So I got to tell you though, from what I can see, it seems like all of the good news that could be out there is already priced in. So we have the yield curve. Well, that's good. The Fed increasing rates for them over time. Well, that's good. The fact that there may be lower unemployment. That's good. The fact that there is going to be hopefully some deregulation in the form of maybe possibly a repeal of Dodd-Frank. Maybe there's going to be possibly some other things that go along. So there's all this stuff that's put into play right now that appears to be priced into these stocks. I don't know how much more we can really move. Oh, and the last thing that's priced in is that the appointees from President-elect Trump are back to being Goldman Sachs boys and all that again.
Yeah, I know. That's great.
So, this guy knows how to ruffle feathers.
Yeah, he's also got him elected, I think. Mm.
So the Dow Jones is now getting closer to that magic number of 20,000, about 84 points away.
Right. We talked about that on the show a couple of times, wondering whether it's going to hit. I think we both agreed it'll happen before the new year.
Yeah. And I guess party hats. Do you think they're starting to print these hats already, like Dow 20,000?
Make America Dow 20,000 again, a red cap.
Yeah, there's got to be, you know, on CNBC, they have to have them already, you know, because it could happen any time. They'll have the 20,000 hats, they'll have little streamers on, and they'll have the confetti. I'm sure they have like if you saw the studio, there's probably confetti already all in the ceiling, ready to go.
It could be.
Balloons dropping. Get a big party.
I went to their studio some years ago. That's a gorgeous operation.
The one in New Jersey?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think they moved it to Manhattan.
Oh, I think they did?
Yeah, I think so.
I know they do a lot of stuff at the stock exchange.
Yeah, because now when you know, it's funny because I watch them in the morning and the guy comes on and says something about live from the greatest city in the world, New York. This is Squawk Box. And I always thought that was backwards. It should say something like, live from New York, the greatest city in the world. This is Squawk Box. You understand am I wrong about that?
It's a style.
I don't like it.
Go either way.
It's choppy. It's nah. It makes me very upset. I end up turning off the TV because I just can't stand the opening.
You and the shoes at the airport.
Yeah. And oh, by the way, thank you very much for everybody who sent me all of those how-tos on how to tie a bow tie.
Oh, you finally got the, did you do it?
No, I brought him back. I brought him back to Dillard's. I'm like, I'm not doing this. Not happening. I tried.
Oh, you should have learned. It's not that hard.
Maybe in the future.
Once you get it down, once you do two in a row, you can do it.
Mm. I have to get to my first one. Anyway, it seems like there is, with this Dow 20,000, that there is a desire for markets to get there. We call this the magnet sometimes. It's a magnet price. And it seems like this momentum today, you know, markets are kind of cruising along, doing their thing pre-markets, and they're up a little bit and things. And the next thing you know, the market opens and these things just jump, particularly the NASDAQ and the S&P 500. The Dow was kind of, you know, doing all right, but it was up about 140 points at one point. I think it finished up like 100 and, let's see, what did it finish up? 114 points. But pretty amazing. It's going to be an interesting game. We have all the players in on the close to the pin, so we're going to see who's going to get that. And by the way, did I tell you this? We got a trophy coming too.
Yeah. Well, you kind of mentioned in an email that you're getting a trophy for the guy who wins.
Yeah, or the girl.
Or the girl, could be a girl.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of exciting things here. Only on DH Unplugged.
Oh. Did a woman get into the finals?
I think there's one. There's a couple of people that snuck in there too because the whole password thing I did didn't quite work that right. But they'll be taken out. Don't worry. We'll pull them out. Only those. It was about 20, 21 people that are involved.
Okay.
All right. So the big question is this run, you know, going to continue or is something else going on here? So I was starting to look at various charts.
Yeah.
And so well, I'm looking to see if there's going to be a blow off top. It seems that this market usually you see when these runs happen, these vertical parabolic moves, that there's either going to be what we'd say an exhaustion point on the downside, which is exactly the same as the exhaustion point on the upside. So you got a capitulation on the downside where all of a sudden they just sell it all. You get amazing volume spike and that's kind of it. It looks like hell's coming right around the corner from there. And everybody's panicked. And everybody, now the blow off top on the upside looks the same, just upside down. And you see a vertical move. And then you see a major volume move. And then what happens is you may see a reversal the next day or that day. Even better would be that day. Well, not that you necessarily have to, this is a good thing, but just to see a confirmation of a blow off top, a reversal. If you see kind of what's called a hammer on the downside, where you have a major move up, a lot of volume, and by the end of the day, it's much lower or it closes on the low, that's a very bad thing. Or if you see this incredible spike up like we've seen recently, where it's getting more and more towards a vertical move versus a semi-horizontal move on the upside.
Yeah.
If you're looking at a chart, you see this blow off top. So there's a little an image there, a graph that I put on the DH
unplugged.
Look at the blow off top.
Okay, let me go back.
This is just one example. This is a chart of, I just found something online that was indicative of what a blow off top would look like potentially. And this is a picture of a chart of Yelp. And what happened is you see that it starts to move up. And then again, you see this a hammer, the candle, which is much fatter on the bottom. So it really spiked up during the day. You see a big volume move during the day. And then it comes down, and all of a sudden that changes the significance of the trend. Again, it doesn't have to necessarily crash, but it is a look at what possibly could be happening, and that there was too much optimism, there was too much buying interest, and it just dries up. There is a point on both sides, on the up or the down, right, that it's enough, at least for a little while. And then I looked at a few other things. Again, you can see all these charts over on dhunplugged.com under the show notes for this episode, which is episode number 341. And the big question again is, are we approaching this kind of nosebleed territory on this? Well, let's take a look at some other things. Let's look at the fundamentals underlying this. So the first thing I wanted to look at was an updated trailing PE, the PE of the S&P 500, going back and looking at it from the past 12 months or the trailing 12 months of earnings compared to the current price. Let's look at that. And then we'll look at the forward PE comparison. So if you take a look at this trailing PE chart, this shows a history since the 1800s. But really, you want to look at all the way to the right. We saw that giant spike in 2008, 2009.
Right.
And obviously, things
came
back to earth.
It's outrageous. It should have been a giveaway.
But you do see also in where we are now, we're 26 on a trailing PE, which is the highest we've seen really since when? Probably 2001 to 2002. But before that, the last time we were there was, well, back in the 1900s, 1890.
Looks like 1895.
Mm-hmm. So we're definitely in...
Which was, by the way, 1895 was a downturn. So that would be overall in the cycle, in the cycle. 1893 would be the bottom of it. But 1895, that sounds right. And it looks right looking at this chart.
And this is a long range chart, but you can see that we're kind of look at the, what's really interesting about this, look at the recent move straight up. That last
That's outrageous, that thing.
Know, that little bitty move. But it's in when you look at the range we're talking about, that's a pretty significant vertical move. All right, so that's the trailing 12 months. Now let's look at the forward PE chart. Now, this is a little bit less time period covered, and it looks at the large cap, mid cap, and small cap, and it looks at the historical. The one we're looking at right now, first of all, the small caps are at the high since back in 2002.
Yeah, right, when everything was collapsing.
The large caps, which this was just a few days ago, it was the high since pretty much 2003. If you kind of draw a line across. Maybe in 2014 there was a blip there.
Four.
But yeah. So we are seeing a significant amount of froth in the markets. And, you know, this is, we're seeing it both on a trailing 12 months and a forward PE. Now, what does this mean? So we could wash this all away and say, well, you know, markets deserve a higher PE at this point because what's happening is we have really low rates and there's a lot of optimism and all this other stuff that's going on here. Now, remember something, that usually the estimates forward are much more optimistic the further out they are. So the one-year estimates for earnings are more optimistic than the six-month estimates for earnings versus the next quarter's estimates for earnings. And usually what happens is they start to come in and get back in line the closer we get to the point. So they get revised lower. That's usually how it works. But what we're seeing here now, again, is this forward PE, which is 1 year out. And again, you're seeing that there's a lot of optimism out there for earnings. And at the same time, though, prices are still moving much higher. And we're seeing a much higher level of the PE on a forward basis. So when you combine all this together, it looks like we're starting to get, again, back into nosebleed territory in some of this, especially when if the ability for us to say, well, that's okay because yields are low or bond rates and Fed funds rates are low, if they're on the rise. So everybody's able to say that it's okay because rates are low, but nobody's starting to talk about, well, rates are going up. Therefore, if our argument was that rates are low, that's why it's okay to have such high PEs, doesn't that blow this out of the water?
Well, technically, yes, but I still think historically the rates are still low.
Right. Well, of course. I mean, what are they going to go up to? 1.5%? That's not high. That's not like a major ramp. And this is information.
Well, yeah. I mean, this is just indicates to me that, you know, this is, I think it's still good. I mean, if you look back on your 1999 era on the same chart and you look at the large caps, holy crap, things are up in the moon.
Right. Yep. And don't forget the large caps back then, though, where there was a lot of the internet based in there. Those companies, their valuations got crazy. And large caps back then were, you know, $1 billion to $5 billion. Today, they're more like, you know, $5 billion to $20 billion.
Right.
At least on average, I should say. Again, take a look at these charts over on DH Unplugged. So I think they're very interesting. And again, I think they're just indicative. Let's not get too comfortable is my point. Let's not get, you know, too complacent about, oh, well, look at all the great things that are going to happen here, because we still don't know any of the things that are going to go into play.
And you don't know what, yeah, and then you don't also know what is going to happen with these new highs all the time. And when it goes across that psychological number of 20,000, which, by the way, which I thought was interesting listening to the CNBC guys, all of them, without anybody arguing it, they talked about comparing a couple of things. You know, the Dow Jones 10,000, was a barrier. It approach it and then they'd back off. It went on for a while. This happened a number of times before historically to try to get to this new high barrier. We've already gone past a new high barrier. So everyone just thinks you're going to plow right through 20,000.
Mm-hmm.
Could go to 21 without.
Could be.
Blinking an eye.
Yep. It all depends on the Twitter in chief. Right?
Yeah, that guy. Yeah, he'll have a lot to do with it.
He's still at it. Let me tell you a couple of things that's going on.
I don't think he wants – I don't think it's a wise idea to get this market so inflated that when it crashes, it's just going to be worse.
Right. He takes office, right? Well, traditionally, we have also seen the time when there is a presidential election. It moves up right after the election. Then it kind of goes a little bit sideways or something happens there. And then the inauguration, it turns around.
It goes down?
Mm-hmm. At least short term. But again, that's not absolute, but that's some of the game plan we're looking at right now. But anyway, so Trump is at it. He's been Twittering, tweeting, doing his thing on Twitter, which we're going to talk about in a minute about maybe Twitter being an interesting idea. But he talks about his comments about China. He's talking to Taiwan and not respecting the one China policy. And now he starts tweeting about the F-35 program being too costly. Lockheed Martin takes a dump and defensive stocks got hurt. Lockheed Martin comes on CNBC with an official announcement, says they welcome the opportunity to discuss costs with Trump.
Well, let's see. He did it with Boeing first.
Yes.
And then now he's got Lockheed Martin. I'm wondering if there are some other opportunities here, obvious situations. I mean, the F-35 is an obvious thing to complain about. And we should have predicted that this was going to happen because it's a fiasco. But how about the shipbuilding operations that built a couple of these new, you know, ships that these new modern super destroyers that are that can't seem to go very far without the computer systems crashing.
But this would still be like the Raytheons, the Lockheeds, the all these guys, all the defense companies.
Yeah, I'm thinking there's any number of them could be subject to a Twitter rant. Raytheon's a good example. It's probably one that's going to happen.
You know what? Maybe it could be also Microsoft. Do you know how much the government pays Microsoft for old systems? I mean, I have friends that worked at Microsoft in the government sector, and there's still a lot of these on Windows 95.
Yeah.
And they're probably paying top dollar because it's no longer.
They have a special deal.
Right. For operating systems service that are no longer in existence.
Right. That are not. Yeah, Microsoft does a special deal with them to, but with a lot of money, costing a lot of money to maintain these things.
Then Trump comes out after he does these things, and he's tweeting about the high cost of drugs. Actually, he talked about this in his Person of the Year award, which I think, did he say something like, why is it the Person of the Year, not the Man of the Year, or something like that? But anyway, the Person of the Year award on Time Magazine. And he talks in that article about the high drug prices that slammed the drug companies, many of the prescription companies. So I'm calling him a tweet bully.
Tweet bully.
He's a tweet bully.
Yeah, well, he probably is a tweet bully. That's what he does.
That's what
he's always done.
And why are these companies...
Every petty grievance he puts on Twitter.
Which, by the way, I wonder, is there a play now that maybe... Remember what happened with the New York Times, that their subscription rate went up dramatically? Is it possible that everybody knows that he's on Twitter and they want to follow him, and, you know, maybe there's a lot more users that will be on the next earnings announcement that Twitter comes out with?
Mm-hmm. Could be.
Mm-hmm. That's going
to
be a...
I mean, I think anybody in the market has to have a Twitter account and just follow Trump.
It's probably funny.
There's probably a number of people they should follow. They should follow you, Andrew Horowitz. They should follow The Real Dvorak. They should follow Trump.
Yep.
They should follow all these people that work for CNBC, each one of them.
Yeah, some of the stuff is funny. And, of course, you should follow Jose Canseco. Remember him?
Yes. What happened?
He lived actually in Weston. I had a friend who was dating him. Not the nicest fellow I've ever heard of, you know? I've never really heard very good things about this guy. Former baseball player.
Yeah, and, Oakland A's.
Was he on the Miami Marlins too?
Yeah, that was later. But when he was famous, he was the Bash Brothers, him and Mark McGuire.
So he tweets to Donald Trump a quote-unquote a game-changing idea for the U.S. economy. He said that and suggested that Canseco should assume the job of the head of the Federal Reserve. And in return, stocks would, you know, hit a home run, doubling by the end of the Trump's first term. He used a lot of baseball stuff in there. But you got I clipped the...
So he doesn't quite know how that Federal Reserve works, I take it.
Probably not. He says, this is his tweets, and I clipped these tweets and put them on the site. First tweet, hey, brother, at Real Donald Trump, give me control of the Fed and we'll make the economy great again. Dow at 40,000 in 4 years. Yes, we can, Seiko.
Yes. Yes, we can, Seiko.
Yes, we hashtag yes, we can, Seiko. Then the next one, also amigo at Real Donald Trump, keep the people away from S&P index funds. They have REIT crap in them that's going to burst with rising rates. What? This guy is all of a sudden now an economist that could run the Fed. And he knows about the fact that the S&P index now has all this REIT, but by the way, they always had them in there. Okay. But they have more of them because they split them out. So it's that extra sector we talked about a few episodes back. And
right,
that, you know, this whole thing is going to implode because rates going up and, you know, stay away from the S&P index funds. Like, okay, so get away from the S&P index funds and go into what? I mean, just the stupidest thing I've ever seen. Not that this couldn't happen, but stupid.
The funny thing is that if you look at these cycles, the real estate cycle never matches the stock market cycle. It's always off. Although it did affect it in the 2008 period, because it was a real estate crash, but it was, you know, but these were actually these packaged mortgages that made this whole thing crash. So that was actually became a stock. So I'm always wondering about what's going to happen right. in the next crash, which, mm-hmm. you know, Canseco seems to be concerned about because of the REITs. Is it possible that real estate can actually become a safe haven for investment in a more broad based collapse, which
well,
is,
well, you know, it should, I mean, oftentimes real estate is going to be an alternative asset that is non-correlated, or it should be non-correlated because it has higher yield. It has a longer time period and holding period. And it could be an alternative asset class. Clearly, that is not necessarily in line with markets. Just like kind of look at real estate almost as a proxy for bonds. So bonds, again, times are strange right now. You know, bonds have gone up like crazy over the last 20 years. Stocks have gone up over the last 10 years. Besides that, you know, when we look at long-term histories, stocks and bonds don't necessarily work together. And that's why you want to have stocks in your portfolio and some bonds in your portfolio to offset it, depending on what kind of investor you are. So I think that real estate, though, is also a alternative asset class, like commodities are for some to some degree, that may or may not be fully correlated with stocks. And therefore, I agree with you, you know, should be able to provide you that diversification to offset some of the losses that maybe you have. Again, these days, everything seems to move together.
Yeah, but that's not going to last forever.
Can't.
I think that's just a coincidence of government interfering or meddling. Government meddling.
Mm-hmm. So now as we talk about the Twitter bullying, now you got to wonder if this is a major kiss-ass move here. IBM CEO Gina Rometty is saying she's planning to hire about 25,000 people in the U.S. and invest over $1 billion over the next 4 years, laying out her vision for filling the technology jobs in America on the eve of meeting with industry leaders with, guess who? President-elect Donald Trump. So now they're all about, oh, yeah, you know, we're going to hire. Maybe this is because.
Well, that flies in the face of everything IBM's been doing.
Right. But. Maybe they're trying to get ahead of the tweet. They get ahead of the, why the hell is IBM charging us so much for this crappy server and software and blah, 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 blah. We want to, you know, because IBM probably handles a lot of the government stuff.
So oh,
maybe,
yeah.
Maybe she wants to get ahead of it. This is a sweetener.
Be very, very, very tricky. Yeah. Yeah. So she's just going to be full of crap. She's going to lie. So Trump won't take her on, won't say something negative that would affect the stock price.
Right. And if you're going to start doing that, when you're not going to be hiring these 25,000 people. We couldn't do it if you start cutting our fees and cutting this. I mean, you know, we'd have to cut back.
Can't invest that. Right. No, I think that that analysis, I think, is right on the money. Yeah. Makes nothing but sense.
Mm-hmm. And finally, on this whole issue of the Trump tweets and the bullying and all the things that have gone on, Boeing is planning to cut their production of their 777 jetliners, which is its second largest profit source, as they are having waning demand for these jets. So that happens a couple days after he tweets and, you know, is upset about this whole thing. Iran's got a deal going on with Boeing that ordered, and there's a big question of whether or not we could sell, you know, airlines to Iran. And meanwhile, so this goes
Why
on.
Why not?
Because they're an enemy of ours.
Well, they're not buying jet fighters.
I'm just saying there's some issue about whether or not we can actually do business with them, where the loans are going to come from. Is it going to come from the International Monetary Bank? The, what is it called?
IMF?
Not the IMF. The International Bank of Lending, and what do they call that?
Oh, right. That, yeah.
You know, the free money place. Now, meanwhile, right after they come out with this at the end of the day, so at the beginning of the day, they come out with this, or midday, they come out with this. The end of the day, you know what they come out with? They say, you know, we're going to do a massive dividend hike, and we're going to be buying back $14 billion of our stock, about 14% of the company.
Boeing said this? I missed this.
This is after they came out. So the first thing you have is Donald Trump is smacking them. Then we have this issue with the Iran. Okay, fine. Then you have the cutting back on their production. And then all of a sudden, they're going to push that dividend, really a big major push on their dividend, and buy back $14 billion of their stock.
Wow. That's bold.
It's amazing what goes on in these markets these days.
Well, that should boost the price of that stock eventually.
Mm-hmm. You would think so. There's going to be no shares left. There's going to be one share left.
I don't think it would go for a fortune.
Yeah. Now on to non-OPEC. OPEC, non-OPEC. You know, OPEC comes out with the announcement they're going to do cuts, but the cuts are after they already increased their production. The price of oil comes down on the realization.
Yeah, it's only going to be for like 6 months. They got some sort of time stamp on it.
Now OPEC says, over the weekend. Of course, it's over the weekend. You know, you got to do it over the weekend for the shock and awe. You know, so that when traders come back, they're offsided. So they come back over the weekend. Non-OPEC is, yes, we are in favor of cuts and bringing back the equilibrium back to markets. Oil spikes and then slowly starts drifting down again.
Yeah. Even the Russians agree to cut their production a little bit.
Oh, you believe that?
Well, I don't believe any of it. Mm. I don't know. How do you find out how much do people have meters on all these facilities that they can actually keep tabs on these guys? I don't know if you can do that.
Bunch of hooey. So now we have the Russian. Speaking of Russia, we have the Russian hacking outcry that they somehow managed to hack into the system and steer the presidential election somehow. Is this for real?
It depends on who. A lot of people think it's just nonsense, but even if they did what they said they did, even though that's questionable, because most of these, we're looking into these hacks, they tend to be pretty lame. They're kind of fishing expeditions to finally catch somebody. The Podesta one was the best. There was a big article about it talking about how somebody sent change. You must change your password. You know, one of those things for your Gmail account. And for some reason, there was a misinterpretation of whether this was good or bad. And Podesta did it and opened up his email account. I guess I don't know how many messages there were on. I guess there was on Gmail, if I'm not mistaken. And so somebody grabbed the password real quick and they opened it up and downloaded everything they could as fast as they could before, you know, somebody got wind of it. And this is not like, you know, some sort of high end super hack by the Russians. Anyone could have done this. And the other thing is that it keeps being overlooked, which is that everyone says, the Russians are the best at this, especially if you talk to these guys who are all in on this, blaming the Russians for everything. The Russians are absolutely the best. They're the best. Nobody's as good as the Russians, because it could be the Chinese. It could be these other guys. But nobody's as good as the Russians. If they're that good, there would be no trace. There'd be no evidence. There'd be nothing, right?
Correct. They would just breeze in and breeze out, and you wouldn't know.
You wouldn't know. That'd be impossible.
No footprints or fingerprints.
But somehow.
I just think they're the easy ones to blame. Because they go into countries and they do the, you know, and just we don't.
Yeah, they do what we do. We do the same thing.
Ugh. The whole thing is stupid. So now there's going to be. Do you think there's going to be anything that changes on this official Electoral College vote that's coming up?
Nah.
No.
There's probably one or two rebels in there that'll do it, and they'll probably get sued afterwards because I think you sign a contract and you're supposed to take the votes in from your state. Anybody gets strung up in your own state when you show back home. Well, I've decided to give my votes to Hillary. What? And you're living there? You have to live there? You have to live with it? I don't think so.
Hillary. I haven't heard her name in a while.
She's in the woods somewhere meeting someone.
Oh, taking a selfie.
Yeah.
Taking a selfie. Google news came out that Google's backing away from their ambitions for a self-driving car. First there was Apple, then there was,
they can't get anybody. It seems to what my research has indicated is they can't seem to get anyone to buy their technologies, which are apparently paralleled by a number of other companies all along, even though they weren't getting quite the publicity that Google always was getting. They don't want to really build a car, so they want to license their stuff, and nobody's interested.
The news came out that they were kind of going away from this whole idea of a self-driving car, and a lot of their main players that were involved on that platform left the company. Now there seems to be a new information piece that just came out that they just renamed the unit to Waymo. We provide Waymo than the other guys. And they said to plan an autonomous ride-sharing service with Fiat. Doesn't Fiat make those small cars?
They make big, little 500s.
Do they make any big ones?
I think in Europe they make bigger cars.
So they're going to be having a ride sharing. But
it's also
service.
Alfa Romeo, and I think Alfa Romeo takes care of the bigger ones.
So they're going to have autonomous ride sharing services by the end of 2017.
I doubt it. And by the way, what kind of sharing is this we're talking about? This is the thing that always bothers me about.
It's Uber without a driver.
Yeah, Uber without a driver. How does that fit in with the sharing principle? Oh, all we're doing is sharing. Where the guy's going to go from here to there. He will share the ride with you. That's all it is. It's not a taxi. It's sharing. What's the sharing if this is an autonomous car? I don't see the sharing.
It should say it's said to plan an autonomous taxi service with Fiat.
Okay, well, that would be what it is.
That's what it should say. But
licenses
doesn't say that.
And all the rest of it.
Sure, medallions and all that. Let me mention, by the way, for the end of the year, which is only a couple of shows away from now, actually, we're asking our listeners to tell us why they listen to the show. And I got to tell you, we've gotten some very interesting comments back. A lot of people track back where they first heard us and how they looped into the show. A few people from Twit, some people from my show, some people from some far-flung thing that they read maybe. But they go through it, and some people say they just, you know, listen to it for, one guy said something about, I listened to Dvorak for, what did they say? I listen because I'm always waiting for Dvorak to fall asleep. And I like to, and Horowitz is, I like to hear, a Jewish financial expert. That was one guy. Anyway, we got some very good comments, but we'd like to hear what you have to say, why I listen to DH Unplugged. And you can go over to the site. There's a form on there. Just kind of fill it out and write it up and submit it in. And we will read those on the end of the year show for fun and just all sorts of entertainment value. Let's see here. Close to the Pin. As I mentioned earlier, that's coming up at the beginning of next year. We'll have the official winner with prizes and all sorts of excitement and maybe even an acceptance speech. That'd be interesting. We'll do that possibly. The Millennials versus the thematic, the Global Millennials thematic ETF challenge, which is the millennial style stocks against the old codgers. Guess who's winning?
Codgers.
Yeah, codgers. I just got it.
Finally, I knew it would happen.
Mm-hmm. We should have had some kind of a Paddy Power bet on this. We should have got that running.
Yeah, we should have. That would have been a winner. Well, I don't think we had any confidence to begin with.
Well, the old codgers only started to really crank up after Trump.
Yeah, well, he's pretty old, that guy. I mean, I think he's the oldest elected president ever.
No, he's not.
Yeah.
How old is he? 60-something.
He's 70.
Oh, is he the oldest?
Mm-hmm. I think Reagan, when he got reelected, was older, but I believe that Reagan was like 68 or he was pretty old at the time.
Interesting.
But he's got this Trump guy. I mean, Hillary's pretty old too. But if you compare the energy of him compared to Hillary, there was no comparison. This guy seems to be abnormally energetic.
Abnormally,
especially for his age.
He's very... just active and doesn't sleep. And, you know, I don't know if that's good or bad. Tweeting at all hours of the night.
Yeah.
So
cheats at golf.
Speaking about the potential for drug overdoses, more than 50,000 Americans died from drug overdoses last year, which is the most ever.
Yeah, that's more than gun violence.
More than gun violence. And it's being pushed to new heights by soaring abuse.
More than death by car.
It's heroin. Heroin is making a comeback. It was like a popular 60s thing, and everybody went off.
That's because there's the gateway drug, which is OxyContin.
To heroin.
Yeah. You get strung out on these pharmaceutical opioids, and you got to do something when you can't get enough of them. And so heroin's the next step. It's a gateway drug.
So have you heard, have you heard of this alternative called Kratom?
Yeah, they're going to ban that too.
I go to Bob's News. Shout out to Bob's News in Fort Lauderdale. It's like one of these throwback places that has like all these newspapers. and has all these like
a newsstand,
but in a store, yes. But they also have all the other stand, like a newsstand with the, they have cigarettes, they have candy, they have, you know, they have bongs and pipes and all the stuff. And so I'm walking around, I'm walking around the store, I'm going to check it out. So I was there, I was walking around and I'm like, oh, it's interesting. They got these old movies and they have all these old books. I don't even know what rhyme or reason these books are there. Then they had a whole like X-rated side of it and all that. And I walk around, I'm like, I see this big case of this stuff. I'm like, what is that? I said to the guy, what is this here? He goes, oh, it's Kratom. I'm like, well, what is that? He said, oh, it's a new kind of thing. People get stoned off it. It's like this non-addictive. A lot of people that were on opioids, they go to this thing, get some relief from pain and anxiety and all this other stuff. And it's not the same as the prescription painkillers, but when people are looking for alternatives, this does it for them somehow. And it seems to have, you know, really good effects. I'm like, oh, so I looked this stuff up. It's legal in some places. It's not legal in other places, but it seems that there's a whole group of people that swear by this stuff.
Yeah. And here's what gets me about this. Until I think this about a month ago when the news of it, FDA wants to ban it or something along those lines. I never heard of this stuff.
Yeah. It's like a pill.
How does it show up like this out of the blue into the public consciousness?
No idea.
It makes no sense.
What about Kava? You know Kava?
Well, Kava's been around forever. I remember hearing about that when I was in college. Kava.
Yeah,
Kava. I'm not talking about the coffee. But the problem with Kava is if you really look into it, because people, oh, I take huge Kava, is that it needs to be fermented a little bit before its effects actually work. And the fermentation process in the real, where it was, I guess, with tribes or something. It's like some
very remote area that has this.
It's some esoteric thing going on. It's a bunch of old women that chew it up and then spit it into a bucket.
Oh.
And so their saliva is what helps get things becoming. Yeah, and that's the way you're supposed to take it.
That itself is probably mind-altering.
So Kava is not what you want. This Kratom thing, I've never heard of this. It's just out of the blue. And I'm very skeptical.
I would agree. It seems, first of all, if it does relieve pain in the way that it's described that it does, and it is not hallucinogenic or any other kind of drug-induced mind-altering, you would think if it really worked and it was that good, it would be picked up by somebody quickly, marketed and sold through the normal channels, not at the newsstand.
Yes, I would think.
Yeah. Hate to go back here, but President-elect Donald Trump has confirmed the chief executive of ExxonMobil, Rex Tillerson, as his choice for U.S. Secretary of State. Boy, that's going to ruffle a feather or two. Already we got...
I would think.
Yeah, a couple guys down here in Florida freaking out already. Marco Rubio. He's kind of pissed off. Everybody's like pointing back to Russia again. Oh, he's good friends with Putin. That can't be good. That means that if he's good friends with Putin, the reason why he put him in there is because, well, Trump is good friends with Putin and something's not right. I mean, this whole thing is crazy. But the people that he's putting in, I think have his cabinet / picks have the highest net worth ever of any picks of any president.
Oh, yeah. No doubt about that. But, you know, he said he was going to do this when he was running. He always talked about he's going to get the most experienced businessmen he can find and put them in these positions, which is what he's doing. And so I don't see why anyone's surprised by any of his picks.
I would agree. It's just still, I guess, the reality of it is hard to swallow.
Yeah, I know. You can hear him say one thing and then he does it. You go, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah, these guys are loaded.
All right, back to drugs. Taking that quick moment away from Trump, back to drugs again. In the first 10 months of 2016, since Colorado marijuana shops reached a significant milestone that they had barely got to all of 2015, $1 billion in legal regulated cannabis sales.
Wow.
And they have, let's see, they have 420 legal states stores and $1.1 billion of marijuana and related products. That's just through October, which is really good because the amount of revenue from taxes that brings in
Lots.
Which is kind of interesting that they can collect taxes on it, but they can't use their banks.
Yeah, this is stupid.
So that's kind of cool that that's happening, and that would probably create, unless
I don't know why they can't get around the bank thing by just doing this like a separate company and making it a subsidiary or something like that. It's just, I'm not getting this banking thing or why they're even doing that. Trump's got to end that.
I would think that would be something.
Yeah, one of the reasons this number is so high, I've been to these shops in Washington State. This stuff is really expensive.
But it's very
This chocolate bar with, it's got, a little bitty chocolate bar with some stuff in it. It's like $10 for what would be a 59-cent chocolate bar.
But it's not the chocolate you're paying for. Hello?
Yeah, I realize that, but still, it's expensive. Just a weed.
Oh, I see. Yeah. I mean, if somebody took a shrub and chopped it up and put it inside the chocolate bar, it wouldn't be that much money.
No, it was the same thing.
Oh, right. Okay. American Express, I think you and I should work here. We're a little bit old for this, but they're expanding their paid parental leave policy for mothers and fathers for 20 weeks at full pay.
Wow, that's nice.
Plus another 6 to 8 weeks for women who give birth and require medical leave. So we're talking about a half a year paid.
Yeah, half a year. Yeah.
Wow.
Well, you encourage babies.
Yeah. You'll have nobody working there.
They'll all be pregnant.
Yeah. So, and here's a funny thing. Full and part-time employees have worked there at least a year are eligible. Part-time employees too. Hmm. 26 weeks of paid vacation.
Yeah, that's dynamite.
So I guess that keeps people there until they're no longer of the childbearing age anymore, I suppose. But I guess, I don't know the whole reason why that is. You got to wonder, they have a lot of let's put it this way. There's a lot of people that they have, I think, that are employed by them that are not in management positions. In other words, they're in lower positions. And that's, these are people that you could replace very easily but they're being, I guess, very nice, which is good to see, I suppose. Or maybe,
see how long it.
They're also trying to get ahead of a Trump tweet.
Oh, could be.
You know what? This is all coming back to the same thing.
Well, everyone's going to be, everything is going to be hunky-dory, according to everybody, if this is the case.
Yeah.
Just say good things you're going to be doing all kinds of cool stuff.
Mm. It's popcorn time. You may have heard of this.
This is a very... I'm thinking maybe the guys behind this used to work at Amway or something.
This is the
damnedest story.
This is a This is a beep your buddy. If you know what I'm saying, screw your buddy, but in a very much more explicit word there. This new ransomware variant has been discovered using some kind of whatever. Okay, so they found it. Okay, fine. But the software turns victims into attackers by offering a pyramid style scheme for them. In other words, if you have this malware called Popcorn Time,
which is named after, I remember when Popcorn Time came out, it was actually it was kind of a bootleg movie shop.
Yeah, it was a BitTorrent client.
Yeah, it was a BitTorrent, fancy BitTorrent streaming device.
That's a good name for a video site, Popcorn Time.
Yeah.
So now what happens is you get your computer's locked, and usually they say, hey, you know what, $500, we'll clean you up, right? It seems that you can either do that or, I guess, infect somebody else. You can pass a link onto the malware, and if two or more people install this file and pay, they will decrypt your files for free. How unbelievable is that? So it's like, okay.
That's unbelievable.
You either pay
for one thing, if somebody pulled that stunt on me, I'd never talk to him again.
I guess people do this stuff. Or they just send it out into a blast email. And they turn it into a pyramid. So it's kind of like, just send this off to your friends and we'll pay you 10% of all of the revenue we get. So now not only is it spreading by machine, it's spreading by people intentionally spreading it. So it's not one of these things that becomes a malware that is infecting your email that's automatically sending out to all your... It's actually you sending it out. Do they think people will be that much of assholes?
I guess that's what they're counting on.
Seems that more money was spent on vinyl than album downloads last week for the first time ever.
Yeah, people love the vinyl.
And you know what I did? I had a buddy of mine
he says,
my son likes vinyl records, like about 2 years ago. My son likes vinyl records. Do you have any that you can maybe, you know, you want to give him? He collects them. I'm like, all right. What am I going to do with the vinyl records anyway? I've been sitting around for so long.
A lot of them are worth a lot of money.
I gave him a case of these things.
Okay.
Donna Summer, double album. Fleetwood Mac.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of all the ones, the original, what is that, Stevie Wonder.
Old crap.
Oh, old crap. But who knows what it's worth these days? I gave them all away. And you know what? He's probably not going to call me up and say, hey, I heard they're worth a lot of money. You want them back? No, ain't going to happen. But vinyl's taken off pretty well. There's a company in Detroit. I know some of the people that actually work there, head of marketing. It's called Shinola. They make old-fashioned watches, which first I've always asked, really? You know, they make mechanical watches. And it's a big thing. They're all excited about it. I'm like, everybody's like, oh, look at these watches. I'm like, I felt like I was in a throwback time period. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I'm waiting for steam locomotives to come back into vogue.
But in the next product they just came out with, a record player. I'm not kidding.
No, I know. There's a bunch of record players. In fact, I bought one as somebody's Christmas gift or a birthday gift.
But that's only player. It's only for sentimental value. It's like it's collector stuff. It's not going to become. It's not coming back into being the core way to play music. There's no way.
It's like having the old. I have one of those old Victrolas with a hand crank, and it plays 78s with a needle that just, you know, it's all. There's no electronics to it. It's just all through a big horn.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, that could come back too, I guess.
Oh, I suppose it could.
You got to keep cranking it. It only plays one thing. It's actually very inconvenient.
Mm. Mm. And then finally, revelers in Guatemala set ablaze a cardboard representation of U.S. President-elect Donald Trump. See, they do this with they put it on with devil's horns because each year they have a ceremony. A tradition in Guatemala. La Quema de Diablo, or the Burning of the Devil, which is held ahead of Christmas every year. So this year they decided that the devil they will put in it will be Donald Trump.
You know, there's a lot of, I haven't seen one for sale, but I know that they're out there. I may try to buy one while they're still being made. Donald Trump piñatas.
Oh, that'd be great.
I think it's a collectible. And it would be like a freestanding form of an art. It's an art piece. I'll bet you they have lots of them in Florida, too.
You know what? That's a good – I think that's an excellent holiday gift that a listener should buy for you.
You should have one of these things. Well, if they're going to do that, then find a really good one. Mm-hmm. You should have one of these Donald Trump piñatas in your wiki-tiki shack.
Oh, in the tiki, huh? Oh, that'd be good. But you see, the problem is already you said that to me, and I'm worried he's going to tweet something bad about me. See, I'm not doing that. Although I will hire.
You're not going to use it as a piñata. No. You're using it as art.
And I'm going to hire five people to install it and take care of it.
There you go.
So there I go. All right, let's take a look at the stocks. By the way, you can find all the information about what we've talked about over on dhunplug.com. There's show notes there. There's a lot of information you can find. The old Codges portfolio, the close to the pin contest, as well as the weekly stock picks. All that's there. I will mention that there is one stock, for whatever reason, I don't know what's going on with the system, but it's not showing up on the weekly stock picks, and I'll talk about that in a second when we go through the list. But you can find all that there. You can follow John C. Dvorak at The Real Dvorak on Twitter. And myself, Andrew Horowitz. You can also listen to John and Adam Curry on their fabulous, very informative and educational show called No Agenda on Thursdays and Sundays live. And also you can find it on all sorts of playback devices. And maybe even you can find it on a 78 or a 33 or 45 somewhere around. I don't know. And then, of course, the Disciplined Investor podcast as well, each and every Sunday. But when we look at the stocks, this is just a game we play. It's not an offer to buy or sell any security. It's not a recommendation either. If you decide that you want to do something with anything that we talk about, make sure to do your homework, your due diligence, and your research, and to get some good financial advice from a professional. We are not responsible for you losing your house.
Exactly.
If we own it or clients of Horowitz Company own it, we will duly note this.
So is it Twitter that doesn't come up? Is that what I'm
looking
at? No,
it's not Twitter. Resolute Energy is not. It's coming up here. It's on yours here. But we have, you know, on the site. The one that I sent you is good. But the one on the site is not seemingly Resolute Energy that we picked on 11:30 is not showing
up. Well, it was almost all green, so we're doing well, except the one that's a dead money, the Apple short, which was mine.
Stop.
But look at that. Look at that Barclays.
Oof. Nothing but green.
Yeah, 60% up.
We knew that. We knew that.
I see the 21st Century Fox is finally moving. It's almost up 10%. Her Herbalife is a short.
Stopped.
It's got stopped out. Okay. Yep. Well, it's still got a profit.
Yep, 10% profit. That's excellent.
Herbalife has ended up with, as a short, is doing very well. And also your ultra short Lehman Brothers ETF, 20-year ETF is up 25%. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, that's amazing. That just shows you how much stocks have moved, bonds have moved recently.
Yeah.
And that's only with the 10-year at 2.5%. Can you imagine if it goes to 4%?
Oh, yeah.
Talk about a collapse. There's your collapse. This is a collapse as it is. This is only a double, so it's 12% on the long bond.
Collapse is on its way.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else looks pretty decent.
So I'm going to put on, against my better judgment, Twitter.
It's already on here.
I'm putting it on this week.
Oh, I see. It's new.
New this week.
You're going long on Twitter.
Long on Twitter for the Twitter in chief.
I think it's a good speculation. So this price right, yeah.
Too much negativity on it too, generally speaking. What do you got?
Okay.
What
do
you
got? I don't really have anything. I got nothing.
Nothing.
I mean, I'm looking at the only thing that did a lot of insider buying going on for Wendy's restaurants.
You know what's funny? You mentioned that. I saw that pop up on a list of one of the guys that I watched his trading, and he was actually started a half position in it today.
At Wendy's?
Yep.
I wonder what they're up to. Well, maybe I'll put it on the list then. I'm wondering, there's something's up because it's not the same one guy buying a bunch. There's a bunch of different people buying it that are all board members or something. Maybe they're going to do a big buyout or they're going to get bought. I don't know. But something's screwy about it. So, yeah, I'll put it on there.
Okay, this is – and what's the – the thesis is something
screwy. Something's up.
Something's up.
Yeah, something's screwy.
Something's screwy. Screwy.
Yeah, I wouldn't have probably done it until you mentioned that, what you just said.
Yeah, there was I was like, why Wendy's?
Peter May is buying it. Matthew Peltz is buying it. Nelson Peltz is buying it.
Oh, those are big boys.
Yeah, these are big boys. And they're all buying it. It's already moved up quite a bit, but it's kind of stable at about, I don't know what it looks like there, $13, $13.50. But yeah. They're all buying, you know, like crap loads of it.
I could ask my wife to ask Dave's wife. She's friends with her.
Who's Dave's wife? Dave who?
Dave the inventor. He's dead, but I believe Dave.
Yeah, Dave.
Dave.
Dave, yeah, died of a heart attack.
Dave.
Dave's not here.
Dave Wendy. Dave Thomas.
Yeah, Dave Thomas.
They live
so your wife
here.
Knows his widow?
Yeah.
Oh.
Is Wendy still alive? Let's see. His wife. What is her name? Okay, forget that. Who is he married to? She goes to a bunch of events and she's there. Yeah, he died in 2002.
Yeah, maybe there's something there, but I'll just put it on the list. I'll go for that.
Yeah, Melinda, four children, Melinda, three daughters, Pam, Lori, Molly, and son, Kenny, Dave's daughter, Thomas, sisters. Where's the wife? Thomas had four children, Pam, Morris, Kenny, Dave's daughter still continuing to run the wedding. I don't know. Doesn't say anything about his wife here, but I know it's his wife. She knows him.
Okay.
I'll have her call. What's up with Wendy's?
Right. Exactly. What's in that voice.
Yeah. What's up with Wendy's? Can you tell me a little something? All right. Well, that's all we have. Hopefully you will all come back and make sure to fill out that little why I listen to DH Unplugged. Send John the Pinata. Listen to No Agenda. Follow us on Twitter. And that's all I got.
That sounds good.
All right. Oh, a sound effect. How about a little?
My column in PC Magazine is about Amazon Go.
Oh, is it a go or is it a no go?
I don't. I think it's a no go.
No go. It's a big scam.
No, it's not a big scam. I didn't say that. Mm-hmm. I just think it's not going to work. I think it's going to get robbed blind. Here is an old phrase. Robbed blind.
Yep. Robbed blind. It's very possible to just have a little jammers go in there and just pick it all up and be done
jammers,
with it.
Jammers, those little bags, a Faraday cage bag. There's a lot of ways you can steal from that operation. They're going to have to, it's going to cause more insecurity than it would be from the cashiers.
Right, you get rid of all the cashiers and the lines, but you have like 10 times the amount of security guards there.
Yeah, you needed like a Las Vegas casino.
Right, eye in the sky, got people looking up top and all that. Oh, what a horrible job that is.
Yeah.
Watching that all the time. All right, until next week. Adios, my friend.
Okay, talk to you then.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pocket, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a man. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, 'cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.